Thank you, we're having a great time, and we'll just enjoy ourselves and look for what we can do just in fellowshipping with one another. I think that's so important. Today we're finishing a series entitled What's So Amazing About Grace? And we learned in the opening service, the opening message rather, of this series, we learned that grace is the work of God enabling or in giving us his undeserving love and favor. And aren't you glad that God deals with us by grace? I'm so glad that God deals with me by grace because I can't keep the law. And we learned that. But since the world is looking for acceptance, we also learned something else. That shame, so we can be free to enjoy our relationship with God and with others. And today our focus will be on walking in grace. If we're talking about being a grace-filled Christian, we're talking about living our life, not so much trying to please everyone else or conform to everything that comes our way, but walking in grace involves living according to what God says in the Word about his grace. We're going to be looking at that. In order for us to understand this idea of walking in grace, we need to go back into our nation's history. It was a time of horror. It was tragic what our nation had become. And it was embarrassing, to say the least. But on New Year's Day, in 1863, our nation, at that point, declared what has been called the Emancipation Proclamation. There it was publicly stated that slavery had ended. Thank God, slavery was ended, and in December 1865, it was written into the Constitution that no longer would there be slavery in America. The unfortunate part, though, in the story is there were some people who either, number one, did not understand what freedom was, or number two is they refused to accept the freedom that they had. Tragically, there were some plantation owners who did not even let the slaves know that they were free. And so they kept people enslaved in some ways, and some others, though, who understood that freedom, lived out their freedom. Thank God that they're free today. But you know what's strange about that is there are many Christians today who live like those who are still in slavery. They live their life out that way because they don't realize what God has given us in Jesus Christ. Here's what Jesus taught us. He says this, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. We're free in Jesus. You see, when Abraham Lincoln announced that there was going to be freedom just a few days before he was assassinated, he died for freedom. But I want to tell you something else. All of us were born into slavery of sin. We're born into that problem of sin. But the great emancipator, Jesus Christ, did. And Jesus Christ died for that price of that sin that you and I had. And he overthrew the slavery of sin once and for all for you and for me. He gave his life so that we could be free. And thank God he gave his life so that we could be free. You see, Jesus died on the cross because sin is horrific, binding, and guilt-driving. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross. So that he could deliver all of us from that. You see, sin has affected this world. We live in a broken world today. You realize that 50% of all marriages right now end up in divorce? And 70% of second marriages, tragically, also end in divorce. I read recently that every 6 hours a day, a child commits suicide. And no doubt that we know there's a rise of injustices and violence that fill our streets. And we're looking at it, we're saying, what is the answer? We can't pay our way out of that. We need the great emancipator, Jesus Christ. And that's why I paid that price. Because I want to tell you something, sin affects every one of us in this room as well. It could be in the area of a marital problem. And maybe it's a wayward child, or it could be something that we struggle with in our own life, maybe an addiction. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to set us free. He came to deliver us so that we do not have to live a life enslaved by sin. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ did that for you and for me? You see, we're officially set free the moment we receive Christ. The effects of sin, those things we've been delivered from, our old sinful nature, we are now free indeed to walk in the grace of Jesus Christ. But keep in mind something. Satan does not want us to be free. He wants us to be bound, enslaved to the effects of sin in our life. I read about a little boy years ago who lived in England. Now, these were the days before there was airplanes. And the little boy, that he always had his eyes and wanted to come to America. He saved his money. He did everything he could. And for years, he saved enough money until he could board a ship to come to America. The day came, and his mother packed him a bag of nuts and fruit. And he got on the ship. He was so excited because he was going to America. Before long, in that long journey, that bag of nuts and fruits was gone. He was sleeping on the deck of the ship one night when one of the stewards came up to him and said to him, "Look, you need to go into your cabin because it's not going to be safe out here. A storm is coming." The little boy said, I don't have a cabin. So let me see your ticket. As he looked at his ticket, the boy did not realize that he had purchased a ticket with a nice warm bed and a nice cabin and buffet dinners. You know, a lot of Christians are just like that boy. They're excited about the destination, but they're enduring the journey. And God doesn't want us to live that. God does not want us to endure the journey. God wants us to enjoy what we have in Jesus Christ every day. God wants us to live a grace-filled life. So then the question is, why do we still struggle with this problem that we have called sin? I mean, we've come to the place, it seems as though we almost expect it, that we just know that we're going to sin. And sin brings guilt and shame. And God says, we can be delivered. You see, grace is not liberty to sin, but grace is liberty from sin. Thank God of his wonderful grace. Now in Romans chapter 6, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, Paul begins to write about and explains how that we can deal with this area of walking in grace. It is the great emancipation chapter for all of us as believers. It's the Christian emancipation proclamation, if you would. And it's foundational for the truth of liberty and freedom from Satan's intimidation and sin's domination. I want to look into that chapter and look at the two questions Paul asks, and then he answers them in the chapter. These are important questions, and they're important for us to be able to understand so that we can answer them. And here's what Paul says when we look at that. We see in verses 1 and 2, and notice what he says. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Here's what Paul is saying. He's asking a question. Here's the question. Question number one is this. He says, if we fail to claim liberty and continue to live like slaves, do we nullify grace? In other words, if I fail to claim that liberty that God has given to me, if I fail to take what God has given me in His grace and deliver me from those sin and He died on the cross for me and gave me that, if I fail to claim that, is that somehow going to nullify God's grace? And Paul writes about that. And I'm going to answer that for you. But question number two I want to look at is this. Question number two, let's go back. Sorry, I jumped ahead there. Look at what it says in verse 15. Here's what he says. He says, what then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. And here's the second question. Does grace give us freedom to take advantage of liberty so we can live irresponsibly? Very two interesting questions. In other words, is it okay for me to sin and live any way I want to? Is that what it's about? And Paul says, no, it's not that easy. So the first question, he says, do we nullify grace because we reject liberty or reject God's grace? And we don't reject what God has given to me? And he says, no. And then secondly, he asks that question. Does grace give me the freedom to live irresponsibly? The answer obviously is no. The unfortunate truth is we've been programmed to believe that I'm going to sin. I'm going to fall short. That I'm going to stumble. Rather than thinking about God's giving me the power to overcome sin. God has given me power to overcome. Now, Here's a perfect example. Here's the Christian who prays this prayer. Dear Lord, so far I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help. Amen. And how people see it. Why can't we look at our Christian life from this vantage point? Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. I am your child. And I'm depending on your power. Christ, this is your day to be lived for your glory. Work through my eyes, my mouth, and through my thoughts. Hear me out, your victory. And Lord, when I face temptations all day long, I will present myself to you and claim the strength to handle it. Sin has no authority over me any longer as I trust in your power. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, it's a choice. It's how we look at things. It's how do we live our Christian life? Are we going to live our Christian life with the view of just looking at that sin? Are we going to see that God has given us the victory through Jesus Christ? Here's how it works. When I was younger, I used to play golf occasionally. Golf was expensive, but I didn't have the time and money, but I would play occasionally. And so I'd read golf magazines to help me get better. Didn't work, but I tried. And I remember one time I read a golf magazine that was saying that if you come to you're going to hit the ball over a water into the green, it talks about how to do that. And so I read a little bit on that. And here's what it says. It says, if you focus on the water when you hit the golf ball, you will go into the water. But if you focus on the green and ignore the water, you'll get on the green. Now, that didn't always work for me, but that's what it said. But that's how we see, that's how we're to look at our Christian life. We're not to focus on the problem of the sin, we're to focus on the power to overcome sin through Jesus Christ. It's God's grace. It's God's empowering grace that I know that I don't want to be a slave to sin. I want to be delivered from sin. And that's why Paul writes and says this in Romans 5. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Aren't you glad that God has given us the power in His grace to overcome the sin that comes in my life? Something I found when I try to stop sinning by keeping the law, it's sheer willpower. When I'm trying to man, I'm going to do it, I just know I'm not going to do it anymore, I just won't do it anymore, that's a prescription I'm going to fail. Because I can't. But when I trust God's power and His grace, that God enables me to overcome these temptations that come in my life, then God will show me how I can be free from those things. And God will empower me. Now, how does that work? How is that going to be possible? Romans chapter 6 answers that question. And I don't know if you've studied Romans 5 or Romans 6, but you're going to find that those two chapters are key our Christian life, and they're very challenging to understand. So let me try to unpack this for you so you can understand what Paul says. There are three ways that we can be delivered. Three ways. Let me give them to you. Notice number one is there's something we need to know. We need to know. And verse 3 tells us, here's the first thing we need to know. Notice what the Bible says. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Now, the idea of baptism is identification. In the New Testament, whenever someone became a believer, he would be baptized, identifying with what Jesus Christ did. He would be identified with that. And so this idea of identification came out of the understanding that in the ancient world they would dye fabrics. And so if you would take a fabric and you would dye it, it would go from one color to a brand new color. And when we accepted Jesus Christ, we went from our old man, the old person that we were, our old life, and we have a brand new life in Jesus Christ. We are now identified with Jesus. And Paul said, that's the first thing we need to know. But then the second thing we need to know, he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin or sins. Romans 6 says that we are placed with Him in death. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, that we were there. And when He was buried, that we're buried with Him and were raised to walk a victorious life through Jesus Christ. This guarantees that my old nature was crucified with Christ and that sin nature was destroyed, and Jesus Christ gives me the power to live the new life in Him. But then there's something else we need to do. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over you. This means we'll never be free from sin's control until we understand we're dead to sin and alive to God's power through Jesus Christ. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that God gives to us to overcome sin. And we can say amen to that. Thank God for that. And you know what? We have to have God's power to overcome sin. It's kind of like this. I know all of you probably in here today, you probably have flown an airplane at one time or another in your life. But how many of you have ever flown without the help of anything? You just started flying. You can't. In order for you to defeat gravity, and that's what we have to do is defeat gravity, the only way we can defeat gravity is we need an outside source. Now, I know the other day, several years ago, I read about this just the other day, so I was thinking that, about these guys. Have you ever seen them? They're out on the water, and they got these jetpacks, and they're like blowing across the water. You know, if that jetpack goes out, they're going down, right? Or like, if you're going to go up some way, you're going to go up. If you need an elevator to get anywhere. What's the idea? In order for us to defeat gravity, we need an outside source. In order for us to be able to defeat the sin and those things, those temptations come in our life, we need an outside source, and that person is Jesus Christ. That's why he's our Savior. That's why we talk about that. That's why it says, knowing that Christ died and being raised from the dead, dying no more, death hath no more dominion. In other words, I'm identifying with Jesus. I know that he can take care of those things, and I know that Jesus Christ has empowered me to be able to conquer that through him. Paul describes it like this when he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the flesh which I now live in the faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. He's saying that Jesus Christ is living in me, Galatians 2:20. And verse 21, he says this, he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead, in vain. In other words, the grace of God working in my life as Jesus has filled me, and he's in me, and he's working through me, he's empowering me. Paul says that's how we defeat these temptations of sin. That's walking in grace. Walking in grace every day. Tomorrow morning when I wake up, or even this afternoon when I go home or whatever, I don't want to go home with me. Watch out. I'm going to stay on the same note. I'm going to focus on Jesus, and Jesus gives me the power that when the temptations come, that I can dodge the landmines of temptation through his power. There's a second way Paul mentions here. The first way was that of no. The second is found in verse 11, is to reckon. Look at verse 11 with me, please, in Romans 6, giving you some solid Bible help here. And notice what it says. It says, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The reckon is an accounting term. Now, the reckon is the accounting, saying that if you calculate or you look at things and you make sure that you know what the amount is. And Paul was saying that we enter into our mental ledger, that we are dead to sin's power through Christ's new power. That we count Jesus Christ as my power, knowing that he will give me that. I'm alive through Jesus Christ. What change happened in my life? That transformation, that when God saved me, when God gave me a new home in heaven, that my life has changed and God empowers me now to live a Christian life. And that's because of God's wonderful grace. Thank God for his grace. My position in Christ makes me dead unto sin, but alive to focus on Jesus. Rather than thinking my shame and my failure, I think his forgiveness, his grace, and his love. But there's a third way. And the third way is found in yielding, verse 13. Verse 13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. And we decide that we yield ourselves to God. Not to sin, not to those things, And the idea of yielding is allowing it to have control over you. Thank God, we don't have to have sin controlling us. We have a Savior, Jesus, that controls us. He's our Lord. Amen and amen. So today, we decide to put a walking grace, walking in this grace. There's some decisions we have to make. The first is, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, not again, Christian, would you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And by that, that means that Jesus came 2,000 years ago, that He did die on the cross for our sins. That He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. By the way, thank God He rose again the third day. Because He rose, we can know Him. We can know Him as our personal Savior. If you've not done that today, you can't do that. You see, that's why He came, so that we can be free from the ravages and the horrific results of sin. All of that can be defeated through Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. But then secondly, a second decision is you can yield to God's grace and stop trying it on your own. To the Christian, if you're here today, and you found yourself, you keep trying, and stumble, okay? You don't have to do that anymore. You can rely on God's grace, God's amazing grace, so that you will not be robbed of that joy and of that, and have that period of guilt and shame that live your life enduring the Christian life. Because I think Jesus came to give you life and give you abundant. I want you to enjoy the Christian life. I want you to enjoy walking with Him. And He promises to you that when you are tempted, that He will give you the power to overcome. By the way, you can't conquer it by just sheer willpower. That's why Jesus gives us His grace. Thank God. It's amazing. Heavenly Father, Lord, today.